How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, we'll just try to wipe that as if I haven't started, and we'll start again and start well. Okay? I like response when I'm preaching. Please. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, that's better. That's, amen. How are you this morning? Good. Good. I like it if you lie, even though if you are not happy, pretend to be. It's the house of God. Sometimes if you just say it, you know that's what faith is. Faith is declaring it even when you don't feel it.
Yeah.
You know, even when you haven't experienced it. Dave, Jeff, you were sharing about what God gave you regarding somebody with, thick wall, and that's all you could see. Everywhere dry, and there seemed to be no life and no hope, not knowing where you're going to go. But I saw the other side of the wall. There was a wave of the sea that was coming in. And I sensed God saying, I wanted to speak, but I thought that there were many people talking. I didn't want to add to that. I sensed God saying, don't wait for the wall to calm down first before you start to receive what I have for you. You see, for many of us, we have in our preconceived mind, we have an idea in our heart how God is going to do it. Don't we usually do that? We think, God, if this wall comes down, then I'll see what is on the other side, and then the wave will come in. But that's not how faith works. Faith is trusting God. In spite of your circumstances, you trust God. You don't know how he's going to do it. You don't know when. You don't know how. But you just know somehow, some way, he's going to come through for you. This is not part of my sermon. It's a prophetic word. You know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. After these two by God and God's word will not worship Baal. And the Bible says that the kings gave them another chance. If you just will worship this God that we have created, we'll leave you alone. And they said no. The reply was, we honor you, king, but we know that our God is able to deliver us from this fire. But even if he doesn't, but that's what many of us don't add to it. We're waiting for the miracle. Lord, do it. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow our knees to Baal. We will keep worshiping this God. Because the truth is, as believers, if God delivers us from our difficulties, that's great. If he doesn't, what's the worst that can happen? We go to heaven. Heaven is a better place than here. So for us, it's a win-win situation. We don't lose.
Yeah.
But many of us don't see beyond today, beyond now, beyond our realm. We are lost in our own little world of struggle that we are in, and we can't see beyond it. And that's for us, that becomes the end of life. It is this or nothing. You know, God is bigger than now.
Yes.
God is what we see. Don't let us limit ourselves to what our eyes can see only, or what we can perceive with our senses. What makes us unique and special is not what we see or what we do, it's who we have inside of us. I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian for probably, I'll be 50 in 2 weeks. I've been a Christian for about 40 years of those 50. And for the 50 years I grew up in the church, I knew no other way, no other style, no you know, I didn't really experience what many of my friends experienced in life. I had no opportunity to experience it. My mom would wake me up at 5 a.m. in the morning to go to a morning service. And we'll walk for about 15, 20 minutes to church, and we'll come back and get ready for school. And in the evening, about 5:30, we are in church too. So most conferences that you see, Billy Graham will come, and Oral Roberts and all of that, I was in all those conferences. I didn't know what was going on. And in most of those conferences, some of the big ministers in Nigeria today gave their life to the Lord, made commitment to the Lord. I was in those meetings. But the truth is, did it have impact in my life at that time? Did I know what was going on? I don't think so. But I was in an atmosphere where God dwelt, where God was. Yes. And that must have had an impact in my life. You know what I'm saying? Yes. You might not, you don't, the thing about God is sometimes you don't need to understand it. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spirit. God is a spirit. Sometimes you don't necessarily need to comprehend it. You just need to be there. Sometimes you don't even know what God is doing. Because you are there, He does something. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have a God that can do anything, anyhow, anywhere. Nothing limits God. If God is not limited, why should we? You know what limits God? You know who limits God? It's me. Me and you. The devil can't stop God from doing anything. Circumstances can't stop God from doing anything. Even when things get really bad and worse, it doesn't change anything with God. Lazarus was sick, and they said, if he can come now, heal Lazarus. But with Jesus, it didn't matter whether he was alive or dead. You understand what I'm saying? With God, it doesn't matter, dead or alive, He created the living being. So why will He have problem resurrecting one that's dead? Yeah. It's not a problem for Him. It's us that think, oh God, He's dead now, there is no hope. Even if He doesn't rise up on this side of eternity, He's alive on the other side. You know what I'm saying? Amen. So for God, for us, we can't lose.
Yeah, that's right.
See, we are in a race that we can't lose. However we go about it. But we don't know that. We are the ones that wherever we finish, we are still winners.
Yeah.
Some will finish first, some will finish last, but we are still winners. However, wherever.
That's right.
So what's the panic about? What's the fear? What's the worry? The most confident people on earth should be us.
Yeah.
We're fighting battles that we can't lose. We should be excited. I want to share with you today, following the theme that you've been following, you've been on. I want to share with you what I have titled, Our Secret Weapon. In the book of John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18 and 25 to 26, Jesus was speaking to His disciples about the Holy Spirit. He said, thank you very much. Who's doing the overhead? Oh, let's give her a big hand of applause. She's just following the sermon beautifully. Well done. Thank you. Thank you. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. In bracket, because I'm reading from the Amplified Translation, a comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be with you and will be in you. Verse 18 says, and I will not leave you as orphans or comfortless or bereaved or helpless. I will come back to you. 25 to 26 says, I have told you these things while I'm with you, but the helper, The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will help you remember everything that I have told you. Everything that I have told you. I want to go back to the 16, 17, and 18. Verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him. See, we live this race, we live on earth. And most of the time we think we are disadvantaged because we are Christians. We take shortcuts like the people of the world do. And many of us think we are disadvantaged. But we are not. The reason why we find it difficult, the reason why we don't see the kind of victory that we expect to see, is that we are mixing the lifestyle of the world that we live in, with the kingdom lifestyle. And they are complete opposite and contrast. They don't work. The world does not complement the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God cannot work alongside with the kingdom of the world. So we either live like the world do and just enjoy the life of the world here. I know that we go for it full time and waste no time, or we totally live for God. That's the way it works. It's either for God or in the world. And here, he's saying the world doesn't see. Because the world does not know this Holy Spirit, then he's our secret weapon. They don't know him. Remember the story of David. He stood before Goliath. When people saw David and saw Goliath, they said this was a mixed match. Tiny David against this mighty Goliath. But the truth was, the mismatch was not David and Goliath. The mismatch was God and Goliath. Do you understand the point I'm making? David came in the name of the Lord, but the Israelites did not see it. The Philistines did not see it. The mismatch they saw was David and Goliath. And it was good, because when you don't know the enemy that you are fighting, you are destined to lose the battle. The devil does not, even if the world knows God and knows his power and they can see God and face him, they will still lose the battle. Imagine not knowing the God that they are fighting against. You understand what I'm saying? David came out, they saw David. But the truth is, the one who stood before Goliath was God. Yes. And that's how it is for us in the world today. When stand up, many of us see ourselves versus them. Myself against the establishment. Myself against this sickness. Myself against this financial challenge. Myself against these psychological issues, against these emotional issues. That's how we see it. So when you see yourself and this big mountain, compared to the mountain, you're small. And then many of us stop fighting. We fight a little and try until our strength will fail us and we give in. But when we come to realize that we were not equipped to fight the battles that we fight, when you are not equipped to fight a battle, you are destined to lose if you try to fight. In the Pentecostal setting and in the charismatic setting, we hear this thing: you need to fight the battle of faith. You know, the Bible said the good fight of faith, not the battle. It's a good fight because the battle has been won.
Yes,
you know, that's what makes it good. Because there is no battle that is good. There is no fight that is good. But ours is good because the battle was won 2,000 years ago for us.
Yes.
We are implementing the victory that we had. In other words, we are policing this earth and implementing kingdom victory. Of becoming victims of the devil, we are policing him to say, your terms of the condition of your release. You've broken it, so we rebuke him. If there is sickness, sickness is not from God, so we rebuke the sickness and command the devil to stay where he is. You see, if there are issues, so when the devil attacks us, we are not crying out and say, Lord, I'm in trouble. No, you are not. The devil has broken the term. It's like a convicted prisoner that's been released on a license and tagged. So you are asked to be at home between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. If you go out, the alarm will ignite the alarm, and somebody will come out and say, where are you? You've broken your terms of condition that you were released with. And so the devil is like that for us, but many of us don't know that. When he steps out of line, we say, no, go back there. That's what we are here on earth for. That's why he said we should do the good work. You know, we should shine as light. Our light is exposing the devil and revealing God. As we reveal God, it is exposed. What do? We see his secret and we rebuke him. So our secret weapon is the Holy Spirit. It's not our giftings. It's not our skill. It's not our talent. It's not how much we know. But it's who we have in us. I'm doing this, studying this book with, doing Bible study with our church. We are on chapter 12 now, I think this time, or chapter 11, on this book titled Born After Midnight by A.W. Tozer. I don't know if many of you know him. And there's something he said. He said, the wolf is not afraid of a praying sheep. See, many of us who pray, Lord, we think, because I'm praying. Have you heard this term? A prayerful Christian is a powerful Christian. You've heard that before. A prayerful Christian is a powerful Christian. And I remember in Sunday school when we were growing up, they gave us the five P's. You know, prayerful preparation prevents poor performance, which is true. You know, prayerful preparation prevents poor performance. And I apply that in my life. It works. It works very well. But the truth is, by the time we start to pray like that and things happen, we think it's because we are powerful that it is happening. You know, that it's me that is happening. But the reason why it's happening is because when you are praying, you highlight God. What your prayer does is highlighting God. Yeah. And when the devil sees God, he runs. And when you see the devil running away, you think he's running from me. But it's actually running away from me. And so that's why Tosa was saying that. He said, the wolf is not afraid of a praying sheep. He's afraid of the shepherd. Yeah. It's the shepherd the wolf is afraid of. Not the praying sheep. And the shepherd can stand there and the sheep will run to the wolf will run away. But if the shepherd lives there, what will happen? The wolf is a dead meat. I mean, the sheep will be a dead meat for the wolf. You know what I'm trying to say? We have to come to understand that our secret weapon is the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He's our secret weapon. The picture we have here is a child in the mother's womb. And we know that a child isn't that beautiful. Every time I see this picture, it just makes me think, wow, God's creation. The child in the mother's womb is totally dependent on the mother. But there is something linking them, the umbilical cord. The umbilical cord carries all the nutrients and the oxygenated blood from the mom to the child. And then it also carries the waste from the child to the placenta. You know, there is that going on. The child there does not need to do anything. He just needs to stay in the womb, receive all that he needs, and start to grow. And when the child is about to go out, there is the antibody that's released in the child, so that to help the child for the first 3 months when the child is out of the mother's womb. You see, God is not only taking care of the child in the womb for 9 months. When the child comes out, what he receives or she receives within the womb is enough to sustain the child when it's out. But for us, it was outside that's looking after the child inside. But for us, the reverse is the case. The Holy Spirit is in the womb of our heart. It's the one that is inside that is taking care of us outside.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Imagine, not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a baby like this. But imagine the Holy Spirit in the womb of your heart, resting there. When you need help, where should you look to? Common sense would tell us to do what? To do what? To look to God. To look to the Lord. So if the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is inside us, where should we look to? Who should we listen to? How? Where? It's in us here. You know, sometimes when we pray as if God is outside. We shout as if God is deaf. We Pentecostals do it, especially black Pentecostals. You know, the louder the shout, the quicker God answers. So we do everything on the outside, but forgetting that actually the throne of God is in our heart. Bible says we are the temple of the Lord and the Holy Spirit dwells. Bible is true and we believe it, and it means that God is inside the womb of our heart.
Yeah?
Yeah? And if God is inside the womb of my heart and the wolf comes to kill, to steal, to destroy, and God is inside, can the wolf destroy the shepherd?
No.
Can the devil destroy God? No. Can God lose?
No.
What's our worry? What's our fear? See, we spend a lot of time worrying about things that are meant to be opportunity for God to come through for us. Goliath was an opportunity for Israel to win a battle without actually losing anyone. Because if Goliath had not come with that idea, bring a champion from your side and I'll represent Philistine. You see, there would have been casualties if Israel fought the battle. It was the easiest way out. But the easiest way out created panic amongst God's people because they could not see beyond themselves. In Exodus, the Bible says that when God told Moses to call out out and to go and scour the land, and the people went out, they saw giants. Beautiful land. They said, this land is beautiful. They came with grapes. They said, they saw giants. They are giants in the land. They said, we were like who? Like what? Grasshoppers. We were like grasshoppers before them in our eyes. And then in their eyes, how do you know what they saw? They said, in their eyes, we were like grasshoppers. So that is a mind thing, a mindset thing. They said, look, the way they saw us, those people were ready to kill us. They can destroy us easily. But God said he was going to take them from the land of Egypt to the promised land. It was God that was going to do it. It wasn't the Israelites. God faced Pharaoh in Egypt and with all the 10 plagues and with Pharaoh with all his army and chariots in his own land had to release them without them fighting a battle. They asked for spoils. They took precious things from the Egyptians without fighting a battle. God led them away. And then they got to the Red Sea, saw the same people coming in. What was happening? Suddenly there was fear. So when you look at it here, I want to finish in the next 5 minutes. Is that okay? Because I'm... So the indwelling Holy Spirit is our secret weapon. He lives in our heart. He works from the inside out. The cord of faith connects us to him in the womb of our heart and causes him to flow through the cord to us. You see, faith connects us with the Holy Spirit. It is faith that connects us with the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we want to rationalize things and want to see it. We want to understand it. And the word of God is past finding. We cannot find him out. We cannot work him out. We just have to accept his word for it. Can you move to the next slide, please? Let's accept his word for it. Let's accept his word for it. Look at this, is Eurotunnel. How many of you have traveled by what do you call it? Eurostar. This is I'll just jump past. It's China Tunnel, yes. I finally got there in the end. It's China Tunnel. You see, it connects two nations together. It does, doesn't it? If you move to the next one, please. It's two nations together. We live in the kingdom, we live on earth. At the same time, we are in God's kingdom. Just like the tunnel connects two nations together, the United Kingdom and France. So the faith tunnel connects us on earth with the kingdom of heaven. Yes. All that God has, God was telling in the other scripture. So my second point is we are a channel for the Holy Spirit. That's who we are on earth. Faith connects us with the Holy Spirit, and all that God has flows through us to this earth. We are a tunnel through which God transports the goodness of heaven here. Whether you believe it or not, you are the best that God has got for this earth. You. The hope for this nation is you. God is doing everything he does through his church. God has dug a tunnel from heaven to this earth, and you are the link. Your faith is what makes it happen. So we have to understand, Jesus was saying that all that the Father has, he said when the Holy Spirit comes, he will take what is mine and give to you. I think I have a scripture that's John, in John 17-15, but I just want to make the last one. He said, all the things that, for verse 15, say, all the things that the Father has are mine. Because of this, I said that he, the Spirit of God, will take from me what is mine and give to you. And that's what the scripture said. And that's what Jesus said. I'm ending in another 2 minutes. You know, so that's within the 5 minutes I asked for. So I'm not adding anything to it. What's your name?
Josh.
Were you the donkey?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Now you'll be God, the yeah. Father. Yes? You come, please. Please don't apply any theology to it. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit is a girl or a woman, you know. And what Jesus is saying here, your name is
Josh.
Josh and
Hannah.
This is Josh. He's got, this is the whole world, everything in his hands. And this is the Holy Spirit. And this is me, the church. Jesus was saying that all that he's got, all that the Father has is his. And the Holy Spirit will come to the Father and take all that is Jesus, because the, what Jesus is, what Jesus has is the, is the, is the Father, who will take it from the Father and bring it to the church. It's a, this is a continuous thing. Said, all that the Father has is mine. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will take from the Father and give to me. Take from the Father and give to you. And take from the Father. This is a continuous thing, just like a tunnel. The Holy Spirit will go by my faith. When I connect my faith and believe and walk with him and obey him and listen to him and let him speak to me. Every time, as long as I'm walking with him and my faith is connected, she's continuously bringing to me what the Father has. Continuously bringing to me what belongs to Jesus. Continuously bringing to me not just what I need, but the best of heaven. What does that tell you about what the Father's plan for me? He has resourced me with all the heavenly resources. Yeah. That I should not be in lack. We should be able to take care of the needs of the world. So God's plan for supplying the needs of the world today is the church.
Yes.
Consider, and God bless you. I'm not going to finish the sermon, but I'll end here because I think you've got the gist of the sermon. Shall we pray? My last point was that you need to learn how to receive. Just like when the postman comes to deliver mail that has your name on it. What do? You come, you open your hands, you sign for it, and you receive it. We need to learn how to receive from God. Shall we pray, and then we'll take the Holy Communion? Yeah. I just want you to lay your hands on your chest. Say after, Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, I come in the name of your Son Jesus to receive all that you have for me. Open the eyes of my heart to see, the ears of my heart to hear, and the ability to understand how you want me to walk with you, and wisdom to know what to do. In Jesus' name. Amen.